Good morning, everyone. So grateful that you have chosen to worship with us today here at Second Baptist Church. My name is Jonathan, and I have the privilege of serving as associate pastor here at Second Baptist, and I want to extend a very special welcome to our guests today. Thank you for choosing to worship with us. We would love to connect with you further and just have a little more information about you. If you would, there's a couple of different ways that we would like to connect with you. There in the pew back in front of you is an information card. If you could take that out at some point here in the service and fill it out, we would appreciate that. You'll have an opportunity to set that in the offering plate at the end of the service. We just want to connect with you, better know you, and maybe even better know how to serve you. Also, there's another way in which you can do this, especially if you're watching online this morning. We on our website, ebsbc.org, is a tab that says I'm new. If you would click that and fill out that information, we would appreciate it. We're excited today because this is a special day. It's always a special day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. But when you have an opportunity to celebrate believers' baptism, it is even more special. So here in just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to celebrate with some young believers and their step of obedience. But before that happens, I'd like to make you aware of just a few things that are coming up in the life of our church, especially today. Today we have our trunk or treat, and that begins at 5 o'clock. But it begins much sooner for those of us who are helping with that. At 3 o'clock, we're asking folks to come and help us set up. If you can do that, we greatly appreciate that. If you are planning to bring a trunk, to provide a trunk, we needed you here by 4. As you know, people start arriving before 5 o'clock, so we want to have all our trunks in a row, not all our ducks in a row, right, Al Ray? But all our trunks in a row before people arrive. So if you can start being here at 4 o'clock, that would be great. Also, Pastor Chris would like to meet with those that are going to be a part of our evangelism team at 4:15. He plans to send a text out. So those of you who have been contacted, you know who you are. And just be aware that 4:15, Pastor Chris would like to meet with you. Again, 5 to 6:30. And then if you can plan to help just tear down. This takes a lot in the life of our church. It's our biggest evangelistic push in our community. We will see hundreds of people come through this trunk or treat, and we're planning on having inflatables and food and games, and so it's a great opportunity for us to connect, but also share the love of Jesus with our community. All right, I know that was a mouthful, but I've still got some more. This week, this Wednesday morning, we have Bible study with the pastor. So those of you who have been participating, I know you'll want to be a part of that. Pastor Chris started walking through Revelation. So if you're interested in that, that's 9:30 this Wednesday morning. And then Young at Heart has a trip to go see Fall Colors on Thursday morning. Be here at they're leaving, right? Leaving at 9:30. Don't be here at 9:30. They're leaving at 9:30 to go see Fall Colors. So be aware of that. Also, there's a special event that's happening this Saturday. If you grabbed a bulletin this morning, I hope you'll see that announcement that Al Ray and Sherry will be wed this Saturday. Amen. We're looking forward to that. That'll be at 2 o'clock this Saturday, and everyone is invited to attend. And then lastly this morning, I want to mention here as we go through our church calendar, there's a lot of events happening. And when we get to the fall and in the wintertime, more things happen. So we also have our Thanksgiving food boxes that will be coming up. You'll have more information about that next Sunday. I just wanted you to kind of put that in your minds right now. Be looking for that, and we'll have that information for you next Sunday. All right, I know you didn't come to hear me say all those announcements this morning. You came for so much more than that, amen? You came to worship our Lord and Savior this morning, and that's what we're going to do here in just a moment. Not just in song, right? We're going to do it as we pray, as we celebrate baptism, and also as we hear from God's Word. So I wonder if you would just bow your heads this morning and close your eyes and focus your hearts. as we begin our worship time with an incredible song of You Are My King. And I wonder right now if you would just thank God for being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, He is on His throne, and nothing, no one can remove Him. Amen? And that gives us such great comfort. So just say, thank You, Father, for being on the throne and being in control. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for an opportunity to gather as believers to worship Your name. And You are King over all. And we want to give You the praise that there is nothing and there is no one that can remove You from the throne. You've always been there and You always will. So we give You the praise this morning. For Father, that gives us great comfort. That means that no matter what happens in our lives, You are aware of that and You are in control. And we're thankful that You walk with us. Even as King over all the universe, You are a personal God who wants to be a part of our lives. And even more than that, Father, even this morning, You want to be in our midst. And so, Father, we pray that as we lift our voices in praise, that You would inhabit the praise of Your people. For, Father, we long for Your presence here in this place this morning. We do love You, and we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand as we sing, You Are My King?
You are my King, Jesus. Hey, good morning. So glad that you're here. And for me, it's always a highlight to be able to begin church this way, begin with baptism. And so we're excited to celebrate with these young men, and it's an opportunity for us to be mindful to pray for them as they grow in their walk with the Lord. As you know, God has been gracious to us and extended to us some incredible opportunities at Arkansas Tech, and particularly athletics. And so God's given us some opportunities to go and to serve athletes, and because of your faithfulness to pray and give and all those sorts of things, we have those chances. But then also because some great staff and leaders and coaches there. And so recently I had the opportunity to lead one of the game day chapels and had the opportunity to share the gospel that particular day. That chapel, that's what it was focused on, and we had several of the football players respond and say that they had trusted Christ that day for salvation. And so man, just incredible, rejoiced in that, reached out to several of them and had an opportunity to meet with several of them, and then just to begin to talk to them, okay, this is what some of those next steps are. And one of the first steps is believer's baptism. And so we have four of those young men that said they prayed to receive Christ and trusted him for salvation, but then wanted to take that next step and follow the Lord in baptism. And so I'm excited that we get to celebrate this today. So with that, I'm going to invite these guys to come, and we're going to begin our baptism. So Adam, are you ready, bud? This is Adam, and he's come today, and he responded to the gospel the other day, as I shared, and then we visited, and he's excited to be here to follow the Lord in baptism. And so, Adam, it's my understanding that you've asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, it's upon that profession of faith, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with him through baptism into death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Matthew, and again, he responded the other day. So, Matthew, it's my understanding you've asked Jesus to be Lord and boss and master of your life. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
It's upon that profession of faith, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with him through baptism into death, and raised to walk in newness of life. This is Mason, and Mason has come today. And Mason, it's my understanding you've asked Jesus to be Lord and boss and master of your life. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
It's upon that profession of faith, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with him through baptism into death, raised to walk in this of life. This is Brian. Brian, it's my understanding you've asked Jesus to be Lord and Master of your life. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Upon that profession of faith, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with him through baptism into death, and raised to walk. And what what a joy it is to celebrate this time. And, baptism is an important part, and I'm actually going to preach this morning on baptism. Why do we do it? What's its importance? And so I'm excited to share that with you this morning. And I want to encourage you, be faithful to pray for each one of these young men, as not only do they grow in their relationship with the Lord, but also they seek to be a witness among their teammates and their friends and their family. Let me pray for us, and then Ira, you come and lead us. Lord, you're good and gracious and kind. We thank you for these young men. Thank you for the testimony that they've given today out of obedience to you. And I pray, God, that all that is said and done would bring glory to your name this morning. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." This is a song that's been sung for many, many years. We're putting a new melody with it today. It's kind of like putting an old masterpiece in a new frame. And so we sing, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
When I survey the
I think if there was Olympics for preachers, I think I would take a silver medal in changing clothes from baptism to getting down here. We have to strategically pick the song so there's enough time for the preacher to get back. So there's always this nervous moment for those leading worship. Is he going to walk in on time? So anyway, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord and thankful for all that the Lord is doing. Excited to share with you this morning and last time we had the Lord's Supper, it took time and really focused on that ordinance. Two important ordinances of the local church is the Lord's Supper and then believers' baptism. And so it took time last time we took the Lord's Supper and really talked about the Lord's Supper, who it's for, why we do is all those sorts of things. And so I felt led this week that I wanted to take time and spend time talking about baptism and who baptism is for and why do we do it this way. For all walks of believers, it's important. As Baptists, this is one of kind of our core distinctives, if you will, that we hang our hat on. And so really want us to spend time focused on why do we do it in this idea of believers' baptism. If you have your Bible, I hope that you do. Would you turn to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And I want to begin. We're going to be several places this week. I know my normal style of preaching is I pick a passage and really just kind of sit down in that. But with the idea of baptism, we have several different passages in which we learn from it. And so for us to kind of journey through this and talk about the different aspects of baptism, going to exercise your fingers a little bit back and forth. Several of our references will be in the book, in the book of Acts. So Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. I know you just sat down. I apologize. But one of the things we like to do is when we read the Word of God, we like to stand. So would you stand with me if you're willing and able as we read, and it's in honor of the Word of God. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 said, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age.'" Let me pray. Jesus, you're good, and there's none like you. And God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here. I pray you give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. I pray that you would be glorified in our time together. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The main idea of the text this morning is that every believer should be baptized in obedience to God's word. It is an expectation. It is a step of faith. We're going to talk about this, but every believer should follow the Lord in believer's baptism according to the Word of God. And so then the question is this morning, have you been biblically baptized? Has your baptism followed your salvation? And here's the reality. We have talked about it. We have made plans this morning. As I walk through this, there may be somebody here going, hey preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized following my salvation. Here's the good news. The water is still warm. We've got shorts and t-shirts, and man, you can do that today. And I mean that 100%, that here in a moment, and we'll have our time of invitation. Maybe somebody comes down and go, man, you know what? I've been putting it off. It's time for me to be baptized. And I'll go up, and I can get the wet clothes on faster. I can get these on, all right? So, but have you been baptized following your salvation? And we're going to walk through what the Bible says about baptism. So, the word for baptism in the Greek New Testament is this word, baptizo. That's the word for baptism that is translated. It literally means to immerse. It means to submerge, to immerse. And so it speaks to the mode, if you will. Why do we baptize the way that we do? Why do we not sprinkle? Why do we not do anything else? We baptize by immersion because we believe that this very word, the inherent idea, is to immerse, is to be immersed into the water. And there's more depth to it than that. We're going to talk about specifically in one of our points this morning, but the idea is to be immersed. That's the definition of the word, the Greek term baptizo. So there are three ideas I want us to, or three main truths I want us to get out of the text this morning. Is number one, believer's baptism has a clear purpose. Believer's baptism has a clear purpose. There's a purpose to baptism. And so if we were to reference back to our text that we started with this morning, a very familiar passage to many of us, it's the Great Commission, right? It is the charge that Jesus left all believers before he ascended to heaven. And so, again, here's what it says. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, here's where it gets, this is what we're most familiar with. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So there it is, baptizo, baptism, immerse them. So what's the idea here? Here, in my opinion, as I read this and I have studied this, I believe that there is a progression that Jesus is giving here. He is telling us, go therefore, make disciples. And it became really popular for a point in time, and it still is a little bit, where people will try to sound really spiritual whenever somebody, they hear somebody telling others about Jesus and young folks being saved. Like, man, some of this team that we've talked about, and going, well, the Bible doesn't say go and make converts or go and have people pray a prayer or whatever. It says go and make disciples. Well, here's my pushback to that. Because as I read, if this is the Great Commission, and if you want to point that this idea of making disciples does not point to evangelism, well, the problem then is there's no evangelism that's a part of the Great Commission if it's not right here. But what I submit to you this morning is what Jesus is saying is go, therefore, and make disciples. Go and win men, women, boys, and girls unto Jesus. That's the idea that's here. Why? Because how's a disciple made? The only way that somebody can be a disciple of Jesus is they must first follow Jesus. They've got to make that decision to follow him. Man, you think about each time that Jesus called his disciples to himself, there was a crossroads in which they had to decide, am I going to follow this man or am I going to stay back? Some turned away sad. Some chose to follow him. And so as we have time and time again throughout the scriptures, throughout the gospel, where Jesus says that you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth, that you're to go and be fishers of men, time and time again, Jesus sends out his disciples to go tell a lost and dying world about him that they may repent and believe. This is what Jesus has left us with the Great Commission, is go therefore and make disciples. And so it sounds really spiritual to say, well, it's more than decision. And yes, I would say that as well. But what we talk about as far as making disciples is the whole of the Great Commission, not this little part that serves a purpose or an agenda. But rather, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. Go and win them to Jesus. Then what? Then baptize them. It's a progression. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So this is the idea, is that there is a purpose to baptism, is that it is this following the Lord. It's identifying with who Jesus is, and that I'm a follower of Jesus. That's the purpose of baptism. He says, go make disciples. They choose to follow him, like we saw these young men do a couple weeks ago. They chose to follow Jesus. And then now the next step, the purpose in this is they were baptized today to tell a world that it is no longer me, it's no longer about me, but it's about Jesus. It's an identifying with their true God, the one true God. That's the idea. That's the purpose of baptism. It's identifying with following Jesus. Jesus began his ministry by being baptized, and it was a stamp, if you will. It was a stamp of approval of the hand of God on the life and ministry of Jesus. But then it was also a modeling for us. This is what it means to be a follower of God, is that we follow him, but then we follow in baptism as an identifying mark on our life that we surrendered to him. And so now here's what I want you to do. Flip over several pages to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And I know I'm taking a risk this morning because I'm going to tackle maybe one of the more controversial texts when it comes to baptism. But I want to help you see there's a clear, logical understanding of what is being said in Acts chapter 2. So you remember Jesus leaves the Great Commission, Acts chapter 1, go and be witnesses, and power shall come upon you, be witnesses unto me. Jesus ascends, the disciples run back to Jerusalem, they pick a 12, they spend time in prayer, the Spirit of God falls on them in Acts chapter 2, I believe while they're praying. Peter stands up, and man, he preaches his tail off. And a bunch of folks get saved. And man, God is at work. And listen to what Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 41 says. Then Peter said to them, listen to this, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. See, as you read this, I told you that baptism is an identifying with Jesus. I never once said that baptism is part of your salvation, because it's not. We're going to make that extremely clear as we walk through this sermon. The purpose is the identifying with Jesus. It is the following of the Lord. But if you read this text, a lot of folks who believe that baptism is a part of the work of salvation will point to this text. Because again, let's look here. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so as you read that, some would say, well, there it is, preacher, that I repent and believe, but then I also have to be baptized for the remission of sins. But the problem with that is a misunderstanding of the word for. There are a couple different ways that the little word F-O-R can be used. One of those is a way that is used you for something that you're earning, that you're trying to obtain, okay? I went to the grocery store and I paid for trunk or treat candy. You gave something to earn that. That's the idea. And so sometimes as people read this, they read it that way, that there's this baptism that is an earning of the remission of sin. The problem is that there's too much scripture that makes it abundantly clear how to receive salvation, and baptism isn't within 100 miles of it. Because here's the reality, if you're saved by grace through faith, not a gift, not of works, but it's a gift, then baptism would be an act of working for my salvation. See, the reality is these young men who followed the Lord in baptism a couple weekends ago, as they surrendered their heart and life to Jesus, they were genuinely born again, saved that day. They were not saved this morning because, listen, that is good old-fashioned Russellville water up there. Filtered or not, I don't know. I don't ask questions. I just drank it, all right? But there's nothing about that that washes away sins. But when you look at this, if you were to take just a, didn't know anything else about the Bible, and you were just to read that and maybe not fully understand what the Bible teaches, you may come away thinking, well, maybe baptism is about for the remissions of sin. But I told you there's two ways that we use the word for, even in the English language. One of the ways we use it as if to obtain something. The other way we use it as if to demonstrate something. Okay? Follow me this. Okay? Some of you may dress up tonight for trunk or treat. You're dressing up for trunk or treat. Are you dressing up to obtain trunk or treat? No. You're dressing up to demonstrate,
to show something. And that's exactly what Peter is saying here. He's saying, repent and be baptized that you may demonstrate, in order that we may see that there's been a remission, there's been a forgiveness of sin. So remember, I told you, it's this identifying with God. It is identifying with Jesus. These young men got in the baptistry. They were baptized to identify with Jesus and to demonstrate that they follow the one true God. You with me this morning? I know we jumped a creek. I know this sometimes can be a difficult text as we read it and go, man, what's Peter saying? But what Peter's saying is, he's saying repent, but then be baptized that it may demonstrate that you have experienced the remission, the forgiveness of sins. These young men did not get saved this morning in this baptistry. Rather, they had a purpose in what they were doing, and they were demonstrating to you all and to a world that, number one, they belong to Jesus, and number two, they belong to Jesus because they've been forgiven. And Jesus saved their soul. It is an important part. The purpose is telling a lost and dying world, right? Jesus told us that if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Baptism is a public testimony of our faith. The reality is we've already seen four sermons this morning that testify that they belong to Jesus, they've experienced forgiveness, and they're not ashamed of Jesus. And so, number one, believer's baptism has a clear purpose. Number two, believer's baptism is a priority for every believer. Here's the deal then. One of the things we have to be careful, particularly as Baptists, we work so hard to separate salvation and baptism, sometimes we inadvertently communicate that baptism is not as important. And that is a terrible place to be. Baptism is vital. Baptism is important. Well, I don't think we do it intentionally, but sometimes we work so hard to separate the two, particularly in the South, because we talk to somebody about whether they're a Christian or not, whether they've been saved or not, and somebody may quick to tell you about when they were baptized. The problem is, we've talked about, the purpose of baptism is not salvation, but it's to demonstrate salvation. It's to identify with Jesus. So then, now we've got to think about, but it is still vitally important. Even the text we just looked at, Peter said, repent and be baptized to demonstrate. It was two sides of the quarter, if you will. It is not tied to salvation. I hope you're going to get that a lot before we get done, all right? But it does demonstrate that you have been saved, and it is vitally important. Acts 16, verse 31 through 33. Acts 16, 31 through 33. Baptism is the first step of obedience. It is of utmost priority. This is what it says there. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Notice in this message about salvation, baptism is not mentioned here about how to be saved. Why? Because it's not tied to salvation. Not in terms of earning salvation. It is tied to salvation only in terms of demonstrating that you have been saved. So he goes on, verse 32. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of that night, washing their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Why were they baptized? Because they had delivered the message that they were to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Then what happened in verse 32? They went and preached, the apostles went and preached the message to the man in his house here. And then what did they do? They were saved. Then the priority is, man, it's quick. I really think sometimes that we work so hard to separate that salvation does not come through baptism that we unintentionally communicate that it's not important. But friend, let me tell you this. As a believer, it is crucially important that you follow the Lord in baptism. It's crucial. I believe it is one of the very first steps. You read, I'm going to give you some other texts too, but you read through this, and you don't read in the New Testament where somebody was saved and 6 months later, a year later, or 2 years later, or 5 years later, then they're baptized. In the New Testament, they repent and believe on Jesus. They experience salvation, and then they're baptized. Man, it is nearly immediate most times that we can see and tell throughout the Bible. And so we've gotten in a lull where we work so hard to separate these two that we communicate unintentionally that it's not vital, it's not important. So then next thing you know, man, people have claimed to have been saved a while and walking with the Lord, but the problem is they haven't taken one of the most basic fundamental steps of following the Lord. I mean, it's similar to your kid trying to, your little child, little baby as they're growing up, a kid trying to take off walking before they crawl. It's really difficult. It's almost impossible. And so what I would tell you, friend, is if you've not surrendered your heart and life, or if you have surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, the next step is baptism. And I don't believe that you can grow beyond where God has called you in obedience. And for every believer, it is to take the step of believer's baptism. Acts chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, this is where he's preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, preached Jesus to him. Notice what he preached, Jesus. Everybody wake up, I'm going to help you, all right? What you're going to say Jesus, all right? What did he preach? Jesus. Amen, you're still awake, praise God, all right? Verse 36, now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Listen to Philip's response. If you believe with all your heart, you may. What was the prerequisite for baptism? Was him believing in Jesus. Why? Because baptism is not tied to your salvation. But notice this. And he answered, said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water and he baptized him. It was an immediate response out of obedience. He surrendered his heart and life to Jesus. He believed in him. And then he was baptized. Man, it is a priority in the life of every believer. Now, here's the thing. For me, I prayed a prayer, and I walked an aisle, and I'd gotten into baptistry and all that sort of thing and thought I was saved. You've heard my story, my testimony. Man, I wasn't any more saved than a man in the moon. And I was lost as a ball in high weeds. And about a year later, realized, man, I wasn't saved. And I need to be born again. I need to trust Jesus for salvation. So I genuinely prayed, asked God, God, forgive me. Be the boss of my life. Gave everything to him. And man, genuinely saved. October 10th, 2004. Then I went out in front of the church and said, hey, here it is. I'd already preached a message, all that kind of thing. But here's the deal. A week or two later, I was baptized because the first time I just got wet. Because that's what we call it when somebody gets in there that they've not genuinely been saved. They weren't baptized. You can't be baptized if you're not saved. So why is this important? Because baptism is the first step of obedience, meaning baptism has to be after your salvation. Sometimes, I mean, people are baptized at a young age, 10 or 12 years old, then later they're genuinely saved and go, man, I don't need to be baptized. I did that when I was 12. And we're going to have a wedding later this week. I mean, it's almost like putting the ring on, you know, before you ever get married, then going, well, I'll commit the vows and, you know, I'll be good, all that sort of thing. No, there's something symbolic about when you say those vows, the sliding on the ring, it's a commitment. And it's a demonstration of my commitment to my wife. And so, man, here's the deal. If you've surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, then you need to be baptized after that salvation. Baptism always comes after salvation. Okay, number three. Believer's baptism paints a beautiful picture. It paints a beautiful picture. Listen to Romans 6, 4 through 6. You already heard this as I baptized somebody. I baptized these men today. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, just as also Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in his likeness, then certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Man, it is an incredible picture. The very definition of baptizo we started here means immersion. The very definition of it. And so we have to be obedient for that purpose and that purpose alone. But secondly, the importance and the reason I believe the word baptizo means immersion is because any other mode of baptism does not and cannot accurately picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Listen, this is the pictures. We're standing up there, that these men stand there, and as they go down, the first picture it gives us a death and burial of Jesus. That Jesus came and lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross, and he said, "Father, into your hands I commit your spirit." Tetelestai, paid in full. And there is this burial that takes place. The apostles came and took Jesus' body off the cross and laid him in the borrowed tomb and closed the tomb behind. There was a physical death. And this is why baptism is important. It is not an earning of salvation, but it is a picture of salvation. First of Jesus, that we identify with his death, but then as we come up out of the water, Jesus didn't stay dead, but rather he was raised to life. There's the physical picture there, but also there's a spiritual picture that takes place in the life of the believer. See, because a few weeks ago, these young men, in a moment over in the whole building, bowed their heads, closed their eyes, and they prayed and repented of their sins and placed their faith and trust in Jesus. And at that moment, there's some things that happen spiritually. At that moment, they were dead spiritually. But then in an instantaneous moment, they became a brand new person. The Bible says this, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So this morning, not only did they preach a message that the God that we follow came, lived a sinless, perfect life, was buried and raised to life, they also preached a message saying, because I believe in that God, a few weeks ago I was buried spiritually, but raised to walk in newness of life. That as I follow this God, there's something different about me. And it's not because of me, but it's because what Jesus has done in me. And it pictures this removal. That water didn't remove anything, but it spiritually pictures a removal, a cleansing. And this is why it's important that we have baptism by immersion. So as we read and understand, the biblical baptism is by immersion. And so if you've trusted in Jesus for salvation, and you've not been baptized by immersion after your salvation, dear friend, I want to plead with you, take that step. You know, there's a lot of things in life that you need to pray about. There's a lot of things in life you really need to think through. Man, is this the best decision? Is this what I need to do? But let me encourage you, and if you know, then know that you know that you've been saved, you've surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, but you've not been baptized, not something you have to pray about. That it's the will of God, according to the Word of God. And so I just want to encourage you to take that step. And in all seriousness, it may be this morning. Go, man, I need to do it. Today's the day, and we'll do that. But, man, it is so important to understand that this is not tied to salvation. I wanted to leave you with, I'm wrapping up, I know, leave you with a couple verses, a couple passages of Scripture where the Bible is very clear about what it takes for salvation. And here's what I want you to notice. I want you to notice the absence of baptism. Again, not to communicate that it is not important, but actually just to communicate that baptism is not a part of salvation. If baptism was a part of salvation, I firmly believe with all my heart that in all these passages talking about what it takes to be saved, baptism would be there. But because it's not, it clearly communicates to me the only way of salvation is trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone. One of them I gave you a few minutes ago, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Paul spoke this in Acts 20, 20 and 21. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, I gave you everything. He said, I taught you publicly and from house to house. I preached it in the temple. I preached it publicly, but in your house, in your small groups, in your Bible study, I've also taught you this. But listen to what it is. Verse 21, testifying to the Jews and also the Greeks. He's saying, it's for everybody. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, out of all that I've taught you, here's what I need you to take, is repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation, folks. Repentance towards God. I'm walking towards all the negative things in my life, all the poor choices, all the sin in my life. I'm going after those things. Repentance means to turn, specifically a change in mind. And so the idea is I'm turning from all those old things and repentance toward God. I'm following God. I'm following Jesus and believe, faith in the Lord Jesus, trusting Him with all that you are. And in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Again, no mention of baptism. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Again, no baptism. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, listen, shall be saved. Not could be, not might be, not after their baptism, shall be saved. Now, again, don't hear me communicate that baptism is not important. Baptism, man, there's only one that we can really specifically point to, and that was a thief on the cross that didn't follow in baptism. And, you know, as we see Acts and the New Testament church develop, and we read about people being saved, and we immediately read about them being baptized. And so, friend, I want to encourage you. Number one, you may need to make the decision that these guys did a few weeks ago. I need to be saved. I've been looking into my childhood saying, well, I was baptized there, so I must be good, or da-da-da, whatever it is. Man, I'm telling you, the only way to be saved is repent and believe on Jesus. So the invitation first is this. If you've not surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, I'm begging you, dear friend, do it today. And some of you maybe said, man, Pastor, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me and be the boss of my life a few weeks ago, a few months ago, a few years ago, 10 years ago, but I've never taken the step of baptism. I want to encourage you. Even if you say, man, I just can't today or whatever it is, here in a moment we're going to have a time of invitation. Here's where I'm challenging you. Step out, come find me. Come walk, meet me right down here. Say, Pastor, I can't do it today. You may say, hey, I'm ready to get it nailed today. And we've got a plan to do that. We've got shorts and t-shirts, the whole thing. We're good to go. So some of you may come and say, man, I need to do it today. Some of you may say, no, we're going to get it planned next week. We're going to get it planned soon. It is important. It's important for your walk. It's important for the walk of others. I'm proud of these young men taking a bold step and demonstrating their faith. And I'm excited to see what God may do through these young men. Even today, what God may do, because these young men said, man, that's an important step in my walk of faith, and I need to take that step. Let's pray together. Jesus, you're good. We love and adore you. God, I pray this morning that, God, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, God, that you would save them. God, I pray that they would repent and believe on you. They would pray right where they're at and ask you for salvation. And if that's you this morning, you may pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll be what you want me to be. I pray this in Jesus' name. Your main attitude of prayer. And I'm going to say, if you just prayed that just a moment ago, when I pray again in just a moment and I'll say amen, you get out of your seat and come. Say, Pastor Chris, I pray and ask God to save me. There may be some of you say, Pastor Chris, I need to be baptized today or I need to be baptized very soon. If that's you, and I'm challenging you, you come. Say, hey, let's get this taken care of. We can talk about it. Let me pray for us. Jesus, you're good. We love and adore you. And I pray this morning that we would respond to you in obedience. God, I pray for anybody who prayed that and asked for salvation. I pray you give them boldness to come, take that stand. Pray for those that need to be to follow in baptism. I pray that they would come, take that step. And God, help us to be faithful to lift one another up and lift these young men up. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Your main attitude of prayer, if God spoke to your heart, you need to, you trusted Jesus for salvation, you come. You need to talk about baptism, you come. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for opportunity to gather. Pray that we would honor you and Lord, help us to be obedient to where you called us. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, just want to mention before we dismiss, in just a moment, I'm going to have those guys come up and join me. We've got a Bible we want to give you, and then I'm going to have them kind of hang around up here so you can come by and encourage them, be a blessing to them. Some of our men are getting ready where they take place to help take up the offering. And I want you to know, and I don't believe I'm overstating this in the least bit, what you saw this morning is because you are faithful to pray and to give. This is the fruit of your faithfulness in giving. And so I want you to know, as you give today, as you've have a history of giving and being generous, all those sorts of things. This is fruit that is laid to your account. Oftentimes, we don't know this side of heaven, all that God is doing as a result of labor and giving, all that sort of thing. And I'm excited because today we got a small glimpse into the fruit that God allows us to be a part of and grateful for that. So I'm going to pray and ask God's hand, a blessing to be upon our offering. And then tell you what, guys, if you're here, will y'all come join me? Let me give you your Bibles. Thank you. Amen. Be faithful to pray for these guys, yeah? And I'm excited about that. And let me just say this. Pray for athletics, coaches. God's given us some incredible leaders locally, and I'm going to leave it there. But just be praying for them. God gives us some neat opportunities, and He's been really gracious and kind, and we're grateful for that. And I'm excited praying that this is a spark of something even greater in the days ahead. Amen? So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to have you guys just hang out in just a moment, and you guys come and be an encouragement to them and let them know you're praying for them and proud of them and all that kind of thing. Let's stand together, and we will pray and be dismissed. Hey, join us tonight. Another great opportunity to serve our community. I hope that you'll make plans to be here, okay? Let me pray. Jesus, you're good, and thank you for all that you do. God, thank you for these young men. I pray you bless them, minister to them. God, I thank you for their families and friends that made sacrifice to be here this morning. Thank you for the coaches that pour into them. And Lord, just thank you for this church and their sacrificial giving and praying and going. God, I pray that you bless the offering today. Help us to be a witness for you. We love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for being here.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, the Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die? My joy.